A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. After Paul's escorts had taken him to Athens, they came away with the instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. Then Paul stood up at the Areopagus and said, "You Athenians, I see that in every respect you are very religious. For as I walked around looking carefully at your shrines, I even discovered an altar inscribed, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you unknowingly worship, I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all that is in it, the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in sanctuaries made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands because he needs anything. Rather, it is he who gives to everyone life and breath and everything. He made from one the whole human race to dwell on the entire surface of the earth, and he fixed the ordered seasons and the boundaries of their regions so that people might seek God, even perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since therefore we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divinity is like an image fashioned from gold, silver, or stone by human art and imagination. God has overlooked the times of ignorance, but now he demands that all people everywhere repent because he has established a day on which he will judge the world with justice through a man he has appointed, and he has provided confirmation for all by raising him from the dead." When they heard about resurrection of the dead, some began to scoff, but others said, "We should like to hear you on this some other time." And so Paul left them. But some did join him and became believers. Among them were Dionysius, a member of the court of the Areopagus, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. After this, he left Athens and went to Corinth. The Word of the Lord. I'm struck by the line in today's reading where some of the people, after hearing about the resurrection of the dead, said to Paul, "We should like to hear you on this some other time." Was it a statement made in a way to be rid of Paul, but doing so out of respect, instead of completely scoffing at him as others did? Was it something said because they needed time to reflect on what he had already shared with them about God before they could take in anything more? Or was it a comment made because they had listened long enough and simply had other things to do on their schedule? We have no way of knowing why or whether anyone other than Dionysius or Damaris followed up with Paul. What I know is that I have often made a similar comment to others when I've been in a hurry, or am tired of listening to what they say, or I don't agree with what they're saying. I also know that we have countless examples of such behavior in our politics, our societies, our relationships, and yes, even in our church. Such behavior speaks of a certain arrogance that we need to be mindful of, an arrogance that says, "I have other, more important things to do than to be interrupted by your concerns." Or, "What you have to say is not worth listening to." Or, "What you have to say has no impact on me whatsoever, and my own opinion or belief will not be changed." But what is it that we miss when we fail to take the time for important things, significant conversations, sharing with family, friends, or community about matters of the heart, about matters of relationship? Often we miss an encounter with the God whom Paul was preaching to the people of Athens. During the time of Paul, the Athenians were known for being intellectually curious, and here was Paul trying to engage them in something that would broaden their understanding of the world. In speaking to them of the unknown God to whom they had built an altar, he introduced them to the God who was the creator of the world, the God who had given them life and breath, the God who was closer to them than they could possibly imagine, the God who had raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Ironically, it is this very conversation of and about faith, of who God is in our life or in the lives of others, that seems to leave people uncomfortable. In some ways, we are drawn to such conversations because we know that of all topics, faith is one that is so precious, and we desire to know that God is active in our midst today. But such conversations are also off-putting, because we're afraid to hear something of God that doesn't always ring true with our own idea of who God is. But that's the very moment when we're invited to stay with the conversation, to struggle and grope for the God we desire to see and the God who wishes to reveal himself. When we do so, we just might discover that the God who often seems to be beyond our imaginations is also as close as the person in front of us. Such is the gift of the incarnation. Such is the promise of the resurrection.